I want to dive into the topic of the legitimate business and work opportunities and what the market presents in terms of cannabis business initiatives. Can you enlighten our audience a little bit on that particular topic? From a business perspective, there's so much. There's stocks, there's pharmaceuticals, there's agricultural, and of course there's consumption and marketing. So just kind of walk us through a little bit of that.
The opportunities that exist within this particular space are endless. I would say if I could, just from a macro level, just top tier, I would encourage or I think I would streamline or divide the industry in two parts initially, which is ancillary and or either plant touching. So ancillary businesses are all of your support services, all of your non-plant touching professional opportunities. So you're talking about marketing, you're talking about editorial opportunities, you're talking about legal opportunities, you're talking about insurance, you're talking about consulting, you're talking about construction, you're talking, I mean, there are so many support services. You're talking about packaging, you're talking about if you create collaterals, you're talking about event planning services, you're talking, it is endless.
You're right, because when I was doing just a little bit of research, I was really all over the place. And what do I mean by that? From looking at the products for growth, looking at the type of growth, you know, it's no longer an industry where you need a huge amount of land. You know, they have what's called the vertical farms now. I was amazed. So with that comes chemicals that you need and water and, you know, different devices. So you're correct. It is a wide open field.
It is. And unfortunately, many individuals, when they think of cannabis, unfortunately, they have a limited mindset in that they only think cultivation, sales. And that's not, no, this isn't an entire, again, it's a lifestyle. So you can identify, I would say, pretty much any transferable skill.
Wow.
And you can apply them to this industry, and you can find a need and an opportunity. And if not, you've just identified a niche opportunity for yourself.
And that's interesting, because you also mentioned insurance, and I didn't even think about that.
Wow, that's a huge need. Oh my goodness. It is when you're talking about setting up a cultivation, if you're talking about establishing or operating a dispensary, if even for what we do, Elevate Northeast is a nonprofit organization, we still have to have D&O insurance. So, I mean, yeah, it's necessary across board.
Wow. Because all we hear on my side of the fence, that public Joe Blow side of the fence, is, oh, you know, the dispensaries are so expensive. It's can you give us a little, I mean, because that's all that people are really being educated about, and not even fully educated, are the dispensaries and the different types of products for consumption, which I think is really bad form, because like you said, there's so much more out there that you can get involved in this industry and make a profit, if you will.
Absolutely. And again, the other piece is that innovation is key. So agricultural tech, there's a huge, wide open space and great need there. A good friend of mine, actually, she owns Asia Atwood, so she is a co-owner of Trella. And basically what their IP, if you will, is that they've developed machinery that allows you to grow plants that traditionally we know would be vertical. You can actually grow them horizontally. And so there's this, and it's automated technology. The other piece is like apps for just agricultural and grow. Like, there's huge needs there. You also think about software and services. So software as a service, there's great needs for that. You're thinking about POS. You're thinking about all type delivery platforms. The opportunity, again, is endless. And you have to know how to grow a cannabis plant. You have to know how to package it and sell it. There's so much more.
There's so much more to it. So come across any educational degree programs where this is introduced other than, you know, once upon a time, if you were African-American, you were going to an A&T institution,
mm-hmm.
which stood for agriculture and technology.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing those air quotes again, which was the farm.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You had to learn about farming and the farm. And, you know, I see a shift now because, you know, growing up and going south for the summer, yeah, I hated it. I hated the farm, you know. I hated helping pick crops and all that was encompassed with the farm. Now I wish I had some of that farm on my side of the family where we can actually utilize it. But are there degree programs that are available to walk a person through the management of all of this?
Yeah. So they're not bountiful, unfortunately. They're not plentiful there.
For right now.
At this moment. However, again, what's important, and I'll share this with you before I share some examples of those programs that exist. And I want to make sure that I'm able to share this with you. What's important right now more than anything in the cannabis space, and when I say cannabis space, I'm not just thinking about the consumers. I'm also thinking about the producers. I'm also thinking about the just large pool of untapped talent that is looking for a thriving, innovative, nascent industry, if you will, to come and apply their time, their talents, and their skills. If ever there's an opportunity, and we've heard about Gold Rush, well, this is definitely the Green Rush, and I don't say that lightly. This is what I believe and what many of us on the advocacy as well as on the professional side, we see this as an actual new evolving industry. As you and I spoke offline, that we need to position ourselves to actually not only be a part of, but to actually help shape and form. And what we know is, and it's the old Southern saying, you know, the early bird gets the worm, that exists in business as well. There's a sweet spot where you can get in, you know, to learn from others' mistakes, but to also, again, still be in a position where you can be innovative. However, what's important more than anything, if you truly believe in the efficacy of this plant, if you believe also just in its ability, and what's important to me and why I got involved is just the restorative and social justice aspect of it, because that is so important. Understanding that, what you have to be and what we need you to be first and foremost is an advocate. So the more you can talk about the benefits of this particular plant, even if it just comes down to simply, you don't have to worry about your teenage child potentially being arrested for experimenting and or just making a knucklehead decision to give something to someone that is non-toxic. And again, I would never advocate for usage, not at all, unless, again, there is a proven medical benefit and need for that.
And it's under the prospects of their adult caregiver. I've seen cases,
exactly.
Especially in Colorado, where I believe there was a young girl who kept having seizures, and her parents were just, you know, waiting for that moment, for that mega seizure to kill their little girl. And when they came across cannabis, they began giving it to her. And, you know, since she started consuming it for municipal reasons, she hasn't had that mega seizure, or she hasn't had any seizures. I hadn't followed the case, but, you know, we're starting to hear bits and pieces of benefits. But as you said, we need to become advocates for this
exactly.
particular industry. So,
exactly.
and I know a little bit about advocacy. Okay. It starts in Washington, D.C., at that dome. Okay. It starts in Congress. It starts with visiting your congressional representatives and having the conversations. So,
yeah.
you know.
And also for those who may not necessarily feel comfortable being able to approach their state representative, what we know is also important to our everyday lives is what happens locally. So if it's a matter of speaking with your municipality and your local elected officials, just to start having conversations about drug court and what that looks like, having conversations about, again, mandatory minimums and what that looks like, start to look at trends and things like that, because, again, what we have to understand is that this is a non-violent, if no one has ever, I promise you, Angela, and this is a joke that my friends and I, we often share, is you're not often called to the scene because someone smoked too many joints.
See, you said that in jest, but it's very true.
They're in a domestic dispute. But how often has someone, you know, again, been under the influence of alcohol? And again, these calls are made.
Exactly.
They turn into violent situations. At the most, the person who consumes the joint, they're going to raid your refrigerator, maybe. They're going to probably take a nap. And or they might have a case of the giggles. That's pretty much like...
That's pretty much what it is, yeah.
And cotton mouth and dry eyes.
Exactly. Now, it's...
Other than that...
Exactly. It's not... It doesn't make you violent. Now, I did do some research. Uh-huh. And I'm not surprised at what I found in various sources, not just one source, but I went to various sources. African Americans are arrested for violating marijuana possession laws nearly four times the rate of whites.
Yeah.
Yet both of us, both ethnic groups, consume marijuana at the same rate.
Cool.
And I'm not surprised by that. It's what I find to be surprising is that it's still going on. Okay.
Well, I think the more that we advocate and those of us who are in a position of, and I believe that knowledge is power, and I also understand that in our country, access to quality education and the actual truth comes with a hefty price tag. And that's just being someone who I'm first generation college student in my family. So understanding the access to advanced education that I had outside of my free and public education, there was a huge difference. I literally got what I paid for. So understanding that, I know that not everyone is perfect to have the opportunity to go to college. I know that everyone's not the privilege to have the opportunity to, if you will, have access to certain folks in certain social economic statuses. So they don't have access to certain information. And I've learned that throughout living in North Carolina. I've learned that throughout living in Massachusetts and coming from the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. My eyes are open, and I understand the privilege that I have to certain access. So to even be here to speak to you and to your listeners, there is a level of privilege that comes with that. But what is also important to me is understanding the intersectionality that exists as far as this plant is concerned for my community. And for me to begin to educate those in my community to say, hey, listen, maybe we've been miseducated. Maybe we've been misinformed. Let's actually take a look at the actual potential benefits and the research and the data around this. And again, to understand and to have access to that and to know it exists, I take it as an honor and as a privilege for something that I'm even grateful for to you to be able to share.
Well, I want my community to be very knowledgeable. And it goes back to what we said offline. You know, I have seen consumption, but I have seen very little ownership. You know, everybody should have an opportunity to have an owner's box, if you will, be it in any portion of the industry, not just that portion that is forward customer facing. And that's what we've always seen. We've always seen that forward customer facing piece. And then, as you said, yes, be penalized for it. But I think understanding the science behind it, and then the business aspects behind it, because I don't want the African American community or a brown community or a community of color to be pure consumers. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes back to our earlier discussion. Growing up, I saw certain things transpire. Like I mentioned, the numbers runners, you know, the pink and the blue and the white slips, and then all of a sudden we have lotto. So running numbers is now legal and it's ran by the state. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't ever remember anyone winning $700 million in my neighborhood from playing the numbers game. You see? So it can be lucrative, but we need to figure out how we can get involved and become entrepreneurs and have an owner's box versus just consuming.
If you identify what it is that you're most interested in, that's what's most important. You have to figure out what speaks to you and what you would like to do and what space you would like to occupy and what value you would like to add to this specific industry.
Are there any resources to help one to do something like that? I know we're in a COVID season and everything is virtual, which should really make it very easy. Are there any resources out there to help an individual get clarity of thought or kind of map a direction or know the realm of the possible?
Well, here's what I'll tell you. There's no ready-made just add water program that exists. However, there are a combination of suggestions that I can offer that have pretty much proven true for the individuals that I've seen who've been able to be successful within this industry thus far. And so one, making sure that you have just a foundation of cannabis education. So just one, understanding the plant itself and sort of the history of it, why we are where we are currently, and understanding the programs in the state that are now there, so the regulated programs that they have, and understanding what those constructs look like and what type of licenses exist within that particular state, because that's pretty much what you're going to be able to do, especially if we're talking about you have interest on the plant touching side. Now, as far as ancillary goes, the world is pretty much your oyster at that point. So if you're someone who has, let's say you have marketing talent, I'm not going to say you can easily do it, but if you have interest in doing marketing consulting work, then you're able to do that. If you're able to find an organization or a business specifically that you prefer to work with, then you can do that. You can work with that particular subtype. It's just a matter of diversifying your portfolio and being able to prove and or show what work you have done. Now, how do you actually figure out what job opportunities exist? So there are some programs that are designed that actually will take you through a base cannabis core curriculum, and they'll talk and sort of have discovery opportunities around specific, professional opportunities that exist that you may not know. So they talk about cultivation and base level cultivation opportunities that exist. They talk about management and what that looks like. They talk about the C-suite sort of track, the management track. They talk about all of these different things. And some of these programs are two-day programs. So, for example, my organization, Elevate Northeast, something that we're doing our co-founders and I, well, our director of education, Kara Kraft Burnham, she's done and developed a cannabis core curriculum, and we've partnered with Holyoke Community College, where now we actually have a two-day educational training program for students and professionals that are interested in working in the legal cannabis industry.
Now, for those individuals that don't know, because people are going to start, what is Holyoke Community College? That is a...
That's in Massachusetts, yes.
Okay. Okay. Yes, I know exactly. I know where it is.
Yes.
And have been by there and have seen it on more than one occasion. I have relatives in the area, so I knew what it was. But
yes.
The fact that they have that curriculum is spectacular.
Yes, and so what they review cultivation assistants, they talk about extraction technicians, they talk about patient service associates, culinary assistants. There's so many different opportunities, and a lot, and these specifically what I just shared with you are plant touching. However, again, there's also a review of ancillary opportunities as well.
And then see, I recommend that to people. You know, it's like with anything else, this is an investment upon your future. And if you want to get it right, you got to get educated. And as you said earlier, it is not the cannabis business from the 30s, 40s, 50s up until the 1980s. No, it is not that type of party anymore. It is a legitimate business. So I always tell my listeners, you need to educate yourself, because the more you know, the more profitable you can be on your side of the fence. You know,
absolutely.
And oh my gosh, I'm very glad to hear that. That there is some institution out there that has this particular type of curriculum.
Yes. And then you also have the University of Maryland in Baltimore. They have the nation's first Master of Science in Medical Cannabis Science and Therapeutics program.
Wow.
So again, if you're interested in on the science aspect of it, this would be a fantastic opportunity for you. We talked about agricultural. Well, there's also chief science officers. I've worked with chief science officers where they basically identify and produce genetics, unique genetics, the strands, and et cetera. It's amazing. So when I said that the world is your oyster in cannabis, it truly is.
Literally. I mean, literally. I'm looking at the realm of the possible. You know, you mentioned your organization.
Yeah.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your organization? And you said it was a 501c3, the services that you provide to the community.
Yeah. So I am a co-founder of Elevate Northeast, and we are a nonprofit organization within the cannabis space. And what we focus on and the services that we offer is our professional networking, education, and community outreach, specifically within the cannabis industry. So what's unique about us is that we serve at this wonderful intersection of the pool of individuals who are looking to learn more and get involved in the industry, and then also the actual owners and operators that already are currently in the industry.
And what's your website? What's your website?
We're at elevatene.org.
And of course, I'm going to put this on the website so that everyone gets it. How are you educating or working now in this COVID season? I'm assuming you're doing workshops online, perhaps?
Yeah. So we have the ACC collaboration that I just shared with you. And that's being championed by our director of education. We're also still providing our professional education and networking opportunities. So those are actually online opportunities now, given with COVID. We're not doing live events because safety is first and key. So all of our programs for the most part has transitioned to online given the pandemic. So we also have a community conversation series, which is what I champion as the director of community outreach. And that's an actual free series, and we used to have in-person events. Hopefully, again, once, you know.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the in-person events.
We will be able to have in-person events again, but we offer this free event at least once a quarter. And pretty much we discuss all hot topics within the industry. And also we have there's always a rhyme to our reason. So really the goal behind this particular programming, our community conversation series, is to make sure that we're addressing many and much of the stigma that exists within the cannabis industry or around the cannabis industry, because we believe that we have to first educate and enlighten and empower folks before we can change anything.
Exactly.
So we've done, last year we did, it was awesome. So we did the state of cannabis and we looked at equity specifically. We also did Cannabis in Me, which is where we talked about the science behind cannabis. And we had the wonderful, oh gosh, Dr. Rachel Knox. And I would encourage anyone who, if you want to learn more about the actual science and you want to learn more about the efficacy and basically you want to learn more about your body, because again, we're all pre-programmed, believe it or not. We have receptors in our body that actually are prone to connect with the cannabinoids.
Really?
Cannabis. Yes, it's called our endocannabinoid system. And basically our endocannabinoid system is what connects, it's that unique identifier that exists between our brain and our actual body, our physical being. So we have these receptors that exist, CB1, CB2 receptors, and the way that the compounds in cannabis, they actually adhere to our receptors. So they're like key. It's like a lock and a key.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Now we're going to have additional discussions in another podcast just on the science, because you've just really touched the surface, and there is so much more to the discussion. But unfortunately, we don't have time for all of that. But I would love to have you back. I would love to continue our discussion, especially in the science realm. And another area that, you know, is near and dear to my heart is, like I said, becoming part of the owner's box and not just a consumer. I think that that's very, very important. And with education, I think we can change that dynamic, because the more people that listen, the more people that know, the more that hunger for knowing and going beyond the surface will occur. And that's really my personal goal, to go beyond the surface, to educate, so that, you know, it would be nice if someone could make a good living off of perhaps having some of the agricultural perspective, or even the industry where, and this is going to, I'm saying this, it's not so far-fetched, having a space where they assist people in getting licensure if they need it. And I liken that to, you have a lot of people out there that represent other individuals. In some spaces, they're called lawyers. In some spaces, they're called those actors, if you will, that represent you, agents, if you will. So, you know, as you said earlier,
we have lobbyists in Canada.
Well, yeah, you have lobbyists because we want to have lobbyists to represent us. And like I said, you know, being in the right space at the right time for lobbying brings awareness. And I think it was about 2 years ago, I was on Capitol Hill, and that was the topic of discussion, especially in the state of California. And the question was, we don't have very many people of color in this industry. Why not?
I'd love to come back and speak to some of those barriers. just given what I've watched and what we did our best and continue to advocate for out of Massachusetts.
And Massachusetts is a very conservative state when it comes to people. And I say that because my relatives are very, very conservative individuals.
Yes, but it's amazing because most Massachusettsites will identify with being progressive.
Like, really?
It is a whole. I learned so much living in Mass. I love it. I still pretty much work again, as you know, the work I'm doing with Elevate, as well as also just other professional endeavors. My work is based out of Massachusetts, so I love it. It has a place in my heart forever. It is my second home at this point, quite frankly. I spent just as much time there, which was again pre-pandemic, than I did here back at home. I was splitting my time, so I love Mass. It is a different world, though, but I love to be able to come back and share with you.
Yes, I want the topic to be advocacy and networking in the cannabis space. I think that that is the next topic of discussion. And I'm going to let you know, this is going to be the topic of discussion around the dinner table during Thanksgiving, because I've had quite a few people ask me, hey, how do I buy stocks? How do I get into this industry? You know, this is going to be the next big thing and I don't want to be left out. What do I choose from? And I said, well, first you need to become educated. You need to know about the industry and the science behind it. So this has been absolutely spectacular. I know I have walked away with some golden nuggets and some things that I was not aware of. So I look forward. You have an open invitation.
Thank you so much.
To come back. And because like you said, it is a wide open industry. And the more we know, the more we can grow as individuals and have a highway to the owner's box, as they say. So
yeah.
I want to thank you for coming on board. And again, to my audience, you have been graced with a wonderful discussion by Ms. Tashonda Vincent Lee, who is an advocate in the cannabis industry space. So we look forward to having her back again and having a more in-depth discussion on the topic of advocacy. Thank you so much. And hey, everyone out there, don't be stressed out. Remember, take it one day at a time.